All right, we're going to continue our series on Old Testament treasure. This is part six. Technically, I only did five of them. My wife did one of them, so amen. We're going to talk about Samson and Delilah. You know, that's an old story from the Bible, isn't it? You know, a lot of people remember that, probably. Some things I remember when I was a little kid, they had this, had a movie about it. I can't remember the stars' names. I looked it up the other day, but I wouldn't want to try to remember what they said. But anyway, there's always kind of a story that just kind of stuck out. You know, especially men. You know, we need to pay attention to the story. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes men can get in trouble, right? Women can too, but men mostly probably struggle in this area to some degree. So we're going to look today at the story of Samson and Delilah. And Samson was called to be a deliverer. But what happened is he ended up needing deliverance himself. And he was a strong man when the Spirit of God would come upon him and he killed many Philistines. And while we probably don't imagine, a lot of people in the pictures, when they see Samson, you know, they see this big burly guy, you know, and stuff like that. But Samson was probably just a normal everyday guy. But what happened is when the Spirit of God would come upon him, you know, he would just be strong and he was able to, you know, kill, you know, many of the Philistines that were holding, you know, Israel in bondage. And, you know, Samson also was a weak man when it came to women. And Samson could not be defeated on the battlefield, but he could be defeated in the bedroom. And that's a problem that he had to deal with. Okay? So scripture I want to launch off with is Judges chapter 13, verse 5, starting about the beginning of Samson's life. It says, behold, this is the angel talking, you know, to his parents. And, you know, it says, for behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the body shall be a Nazarite, for the boy shall be a Nazarite, or Nazarite, to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the power that's in your word, the power that's here to be able to transform and change our lives. Lord, I thank you. Your word is spirit and life, Lord. I thank you for the sword of the Spirit just piercing our hearts today. Lord, being able to set us free from some issues in our life, whatever they may be. And Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what happened here was, this was God's idea. You know, this couple, they didn't have any children. They were getting up in age, similar to Abraham and Sarah. What happened, all of a sudden, an angel appeared to the wife and said, hey, you're going to have a boy and going to go through some stuff I'm going to mention here. And then later on, she told her husband, and then the husband said, well, hopefully the angel will appear again and, you know, let us know how we can raise this boy. You know, because, you know, God had a plan, you know, and Samson was the called of God. Think about that. He was the called of God, and he was called from the womb. God has a special calling on this young man, and all Samson had to do is walk in that. And so when the angel appeared to them, and then they received this instruction, and then a little bit about the Nazarite vow, it was a vow that people would take, and it was all about separation, you know, separation from the world. If Samson had stayed with that vow, things would have been a little bit better for him in life. But by taking this vow, he was choosing to live a life separated from sinful compromise. And this is all explained what this vow is talking about in Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 to 8, if you want to look it up for yourself, in case you want to do this vow. No, I don't think you probably would. But anyway, it says, you would separate yourself from all wine and liquor, no artificial stimulants. You know, you had to do that. Never cut your hair. No razor would come upon your head. I mean, that'd get kind of wild after a while, wouldn't it? You know, I wouldn't know what that'd be like right now. But anyway, I'm sure it'd be a good time. And then it said you'd never touch a dead body. Then lastly, you'd be holy unto the Lord. So this was quite a vow. And what happened is that people would sometimes take this vow, but it wouldn't be for life. It would just be for a segment or a period of time. But the difference with this here is the fact that, you know, Samson, due to his calling from God, is that this would be for his whole life. He would take this vow to be able to walk in that, being separated. So the idea of being separated unto God, you know, sometimes people think that's a, you know, be boring or a bummer, but really it's not. I mean, you get a, you know, really get into the presence of God. God starts to reveal some great things to us, and, you know, we can be able to tap into that. So what we fail to see sometimes is it's not just separation from the world, but like I say, it's separation into something. Into something. It's a holy walk with God. And a lot of times what happens is sometimes we focus too much on what we're giving up instead of what we're coming into. And see, with our relationship, and that's how it was for me in the start of my walk with Jesus. I mean, I started from, you know, being non-Christian and buying a Bible and reading that Bible and seeking God and trying to understand these things. And, you know, a lot of times I would just look and focus on what I had to give up or what I felt I had to give up. I had no concept of what I was really getting into. You know, I didn't really understand the good news. All I could see was what I considered kind of the bad news. You know what I mean? I got to stop doing this or stop doing that, you know, and I had the wrong perspective on it. And see, that's the way it is. Sometimes we get kind of that way when it comes to serving God or thinking about God. And they say, well, I enjoy all this stuff and all this stuff. And we fail to realize the covenant and the blessings and the promises and the realization of having the Creator of the heavens and earth live inside of us. That when we worship Him, we come into His presence. All these great and magnificent things at our disposal. But see, a lot of times we just focus on, well, I can't do this no more, I can't do that no more. And that's what, you know, takes, you know, some of the fun out of it. And we need to kind of change our focus. And if we change how we think, then we can change how we live. And we change how we live, we can change some of the blessings that's coming in our life. Now, before I get off too far about Samson's misgivings, he did judge Israel for 20 years. That's what he's called to do, be a deliverer. So he stood in that office as a deliverer for 20 years. So not all he did was bad. And I don't want to make it sound like, because we're just going to cover the problem with the women part, you know what I'm saying? That's what we're going to talk about. But he did do some good things. He killed many Philistines. I know that sounds kind of coarse, but the Philistines were mean people to the Jews and had put them in slavery and all these things. And there's scriptures in the Bible where it talks about the Philistines wouldn't let the Israelites have any swords or anything. They could only have farm implements, you know, to do these things. So just a lot of different things. It was about control. And see, that's what the enemy likes to do. The Philistines are kind of a picture of the devil. See, the devil wants to control you. He wants to control everything in your life. And if he can do that, he can keep you away from God's best. And see, we got to find the way to get through that, because life sometimes is grand and glorious. I love it. But, you know, sometimes it's a battle. Sometimes there's things we got to go through to get to, right? Sometimes there's things we got to go to get to. And when we do that, then we can start to see some of the blessings. And what happened here, the problem with the Jewish people, this is before they had any kings, and it's stated several times in Judges, as well as some other places, that it says that Israel was that there was no king, and everyone did what they thought was right in their own eyes. And really, that's kind of how our culture is to some things. We just do what we want. We have freedom, right? Everybody loves freedom. You know, but, you know, what happens is without any sort of limitations, sometimes we can go off into a ditch. We can get into the wrong areas. And that's what happened here. The nation of Israel, there was nobody leading them. And then, you know, everybody just did what they wanted to. And it sounds fun to some degree, but most of what they wanted to do was things that are anti-God. They wanted to worship other idols. They wanted to do things that were not glorifying to God. And when they did that, that got them into trouble. And so what happened is that the nation of Israel, during this segment of history, they would get into a cycle. God would send a deliverer in this mighty man, or one, a couple times it was a woman, you know, would come on the scene, and then, whoa, we're following that person. So they follow them, and they start walking with God, and things are going good, and, you know, they're starting to be blessed, and they get out from under the, you know, the pressure of the Philistines, and they start to experience some freedom in their life, and then that deliverer would die or whatever, and there's nobody to take their place. Well, then they just kind of trickle and cycle and go off and do their own thing. They weren't really, you know, governed by the Word of God. They were just governed by what they felt they wanted to do. And when they did that, again, they went into bondage. God would allow, due to their sin nature, due to the sin of pulling back from God, not worshiping God, that opened the door for the devil again. Well, then the Philistines would come back in, take control, and they'd get all bummed out, and you know, finally they'd cry out to God again, and God would send another deliverer. And this is the way they lived. That's no way to live. No way to live. Going from, you know, up and down like a roller coaster, just up and down, because they had no consistency in their life. And see, that's what we need to get to the place in our life. What we see from the whole story of Judges is the fact that, hey, we can't do what's right in our own eyes all the time. We have to do what we know is right when it comes to the things of God. We need to submit our lives and allow our lives to come under the control of God. And then start to follow his ways. Sometimes, you know, I'll be honest, I love serving God. I've loved him ever since I've started. And I'll be honest, it's good. It's a great life. I mean, sometimes some things are a little bit harder, you know, because there's maybe some things my flesh wants to do that I know that I can't allow it to do. So I got to rein it in, you know, and follow God. But in the end, it's a lot better than going off into sin and then, you know, having to do all that repentant stuff, you know. And, I mean, thank God for the blood of Jesus, but, you know, there comes a time in our life, people, when the grace of God is the power that we need. Amen. To overcome that obstacle. Whatever it is in your life, whatever it is that's your chink in your armor, whatever it is, you know, everybody has a blind spot. We all have issues in our life that we have to be careful of. Well, by the grace of God, we can start to overcome those things because we don't want to be selfish, you know, like the children of Israel. And the sad thing about Samson, I wanted to throw that good out there in the beginning, is that most people, if they've read the Bible, is the fact when they say the name Samson, the first thing that comes to their mind is not deliverer, is not man of God, it's Delilah. Most people remember Delilah. She was, you know, Samson, you know, was chosen to be a deliverer, but he ended up delivering himself up to sin because what happened is that his name is tied to that seductress Delilah. She had a seducing way about herself that she wanted to get what she wanted, and she knew how to get it. And there's people like that in this world, and we need to be careful about those people because they can get us into trouble. So we're going to look next at Samson and his woman issues. Now, some people have woman issues, more than one, you know what I'm saying? You know, some people just have a woman issue, you know what I mean? You know, maybe they're married and they just, you know, maybe she's getting on him a little bit too much. But anyway, Samson, he had women issues. I mean, he had more than one, you know, and then take it. This is over a 20-year span, people. So kind of look at it like that. We kind of read these stories in the Bible. We think, wow, this week they did this, next week they did that, and next week this was it. It wasn't. It was over a 20-year span. So see, in Judges chapter 14, verse 3, it says, "Then his father and mother said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among our people that you can go and take a wife from the, that you have to go and take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?' But Samson said to his father, 'Get her for me, for she looks good to me.'" She looks good to me. Okay? So, and then in Judges 14, 7, it says, "So he went down and talked to the woman, and she looked good to Samson." So what we're going to see here, and this is sometimes a man problem, but women can have this problem too. We're going to look at, be careful, little eyes, what you see, right? You know, it's been said through a lot of marriage counseling courses and all that, that men are sight-oriented. You know what I mean? When they see a woman and she's attractive, they try to go after that woman. That's just the way they're wired for whatever reason. And maybe it was so that, you know, people would want to procreate. You know, God maybe put that in there. I don't know. But, you know, you need to be married. You know what I'm saying? That's the best. But see, what happened here is that lust can blind our eyes from the truth when we get into lust. And lust is really one of those, it's a strong pull upon lives. And many people struggle in this area. And we live in a culture that has a lot of problems, and we're going to give you some statistics here in a minute, but, you know, we have to remember, just because the heart wants what the heart wants doesn't mean it's right. You know, a lot of people, when they jump into a relationship, and maybe that relationship is not good for them, they just say, well, hey, the heart wants what the heart wants. Well, I don't deny that. The Bible also said the heart is wicked. You know what I'm saying? So you can't just trust your heart all the time. You know, you need some, and I'll be honest, you need some people in your life that'll give you counsel. People that you respect. You know, not somebody that just agrees with everything you do, but somebody will say, hey, you know, I don't think that man or that woman is quite right for you. You know, I think you need to be careful in this area. And here you are, you know, you got this hankering going on inside of you, this attraction that is so strong. And you just, man, I got to have that. That's mine. I want that. And then it ends up being a toxic, polluted relationship that brings devastation and heartache and heartbreak to your life. And so, you know, we need to be careful of these things. We can learn, you know, from Samson, because, you know, he was doing no better than the people he was to deliver. Because, you know, the people that Israel said, we could just do what's right in our own eyes. And that was the way Samson was. He's just following his eyes. He's following his eyes. And what he's seen, it looks good. That's for me. I want that. You know, and like I say, men have some issues in this from time to time. And you know, I don't like this. I don't do this. I don't like these sayings, but people say it. You know, that some men say, well, it's okay just to look. You know, and they say, my wife says I can look. Well, I don't know. You know, I think, you know, if you start looking, you might get to cooking. You know what I'm saying? So you want to not, you don't want to go down that road. You know, you don't want to do that. And one that I've heard is, I'm just admiring God's creation. No, that's lust, bud. No, you got lust. You're not happy at home and you're looking at something else. You need to be happy at home. That's just the way it needs to be. There ain't no sense looking anywhere else. See, as strong as Samson was, I mean, he killed, you know, hundreds if not thousands of Philistines. And He was strong, but he had a weakness, and that was that lust. And there's certain areas in our life that we need to be careful of. You may not have this issue, but there's other things we need to be careful. See, there's a difference between love at first sight and lust at first sight. You know, we need to know the difference on that. You know, lust takes while love gives. Right? See, lust wants what it wants right now, and it only wants to satisfy itself. But love, on the other hand, gives. And you can tell that in a relationship or in a marriage if they're walking in love or walking in lust. Is it about getting my needs met, or do I want to meet the needs of somebody else? Right? Getting quiet. Amen? Right, that's how it works. That's how it boils down to that simple equation. And Jesus, you know, he even said that if we lust after a woman in our heart, it's like we've already committed adultery. You know, that's pretty harsh. But yeah, all these things are in God's word, and God doesn't put those things in there to take the fun out of life. No, God puts them in there because he doesn't want us to get hurt. You know, relationships are the place, people, that we sometimes are the most vulnerable in our life when it comes to giving your heart to somebody. And then they take it and they just break it. So we have to do that when we get married, you know. But, you know, we need to be careful that we just don't jump into relationship or jump into relationship. There's a lot of people, and, you know, this is not part of my stuff I'm sharing, but a lot of people, you know, jump into bed before they know the other person. And they've shared that level of intimacy that was not, they did not earn it. And then they wonder why later on their heart gets broken, because they're emotionally incompatible. I mean, if you sit down and have a couple hour conversation with somebody, you may not want to get in bed with that person, because that dude's got baggage. You know what I'm saying? You don't need that baggage, but you'd save yourself a lot of pain. But the Bible says to guard our heart. We just don't want to give it away. Now, here's some statistics about pornography. I know this is, you know, not fun, but it's good to kind of know these things, to be aware. It says I've read this online, so I know it had to be true. It said 1 in 5 smartphone search queries are for porn. So that's 20% are for porn. It says approximately 1 million people are watching online pornography at every minute. 46% of men and 16% of women in the U.S. consume porn regularly. Teens and young adults say not recycling your plastic or whatever is more immoral than viewing porn. You know, about 7.7 million Americans struggle with pornography addiction. One in four men actively hide their pornography use from their partner. Porn is associated with a 30% decrease in commitment and lower relationship quality. And then lastly, it says divorce rates double for married couples who start watching porn. So we see that this is an industry out there that it's a terrible thing, the porn industry. You know, the fact that it also attacks children. You know, a lot of children are stolen and then, you know, put into this kind of industry. You know, so anytime that people watch pornography, we're supporting that industry. And we're supporting that evil, so we need to stay away from it. Because lastly, it says that porn users feel more lonely. Whoops, lost everything. Feel lonelier or more insecure and dissatisfied with their appearance. So, you know, all these things are out there. So that's why, you know, Christians, we need to guard our heart. We need to tell our young people, especially our young men, that, hey, that's not good stuff, man. You think that makes you a man? That don't make you a man. You know, that what happens, you know, like the children of Israel, when we get into that, it's like we make ourselves like grasshoppers in the world's sight. Because it defames us, it brings us down. So we need to make sure that we warn our young people to stay away from that. And if people are involved in it, you know, we need to warn them and counsel them out of that. Because a lot of times, you know, people think, wow, it's just a little thing. You know, if you have your phone, it's just a little screen, right? Huh? It's not like you're watching it on TV, right? It's just little. It's just a little look. You know, maybe I can learn something. But see, I want us to see that sometimes, you know, it's the little things. It's the small things that we think won't hurt us, but they really do. Some of you are old enough to remember this. I remember this very well. In 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger blew up after takeoff. And I remember exactly where I standing in Denver, Colorado, out by this little pond lake we was working on. I remember when that information came to me. I remember exactly where I standing. That was a horrific thing. You know, seven people lost their lives. I may have my memory crossed up, but I think one of the first teachers that went to the space program, that's one of the people that died. And, you know, then when they found out, it was just a little rubber O-ring. I don't know, many of you may have never seen it. Just a little ring that looks, you know, like a ring, but it's made out of rubber and it seals between two things. And that little ring failed. It's probably only a $2 piece of equipment, although the government probably paid $500 for it, right? You know, I mean, that's what happened probably, but, you know, just that $2 little ring, when it failed, it caused a catastrophic thing to happen. You know, where people lost their life. See, it's the little things or series of little things that we need to be careful about. Because those little things will come back to get us. You know, it's a series of compromises in our life that can lead to destruction. And when we do that, you know, that's when we get in trouble and things come into our life. We open the door for the devil. Hey, all this stuff I'm talking about, people, the blood of Jesus is more powerful than. I just want to throw that out there. If you're listening to me right now and you struggle with pornography or something, hey, there's hope. As long as you have breath, there's hope, man. You know, God can come in and he can set you free and deliver you from its power, that you don't have to bow your knee to that. So we just need to remember that. But what started this in Samson's life, I mean, granted, he was supposed to, God put it in his heart to take this Philistine woman because God wanted to have a situation where, you know, Samson could raise up and fight the Philistines. But, you know, still, there was other things that Samson probably did wrong. You know, he had a failed marriage. He went and what happened is that they had a week of festivities. And on Samson's way there, a lion attacked him. I know that sounds big, it was probably, but he just killed him. And then when he walked past Pyat, there was a bunch of honeybees that went inside the the lion and build a nest or whatever, and there was a bunch of honey in there, and Samson came out and ate the honey, and just strengthened him. It was really good, and gave some to his parents. And anyway, I don't have the quote there in front of me, but he gave a riddle to these 30 Philistines because they were part of the wedding party. And the bet was, if you can guess it, I'll get you 30 changes of garments. But if I win, you owe me 30 changes of garments. Well, they couldn't guess it because something sweet come out of the eater, you know, out of the lion, so they couldn't guess it. And so they went to his wife or fiance, however it worked back then, and said, hey, you know, you invite us here and then you're going to impoverish us. We're going to get your dad and you, and we're going to put you to death. So what happened then is she started to press Samson and just press him and press him. I want to know the answer to that riddle. If you love me, you'll tell me. Come on, I want to know the answer to that riddle. So finally she kept pressing him, and Samson gave in and told the answer. She went and told those guys, and then, oh man, just got Samson irate. If you wouldn't have plowed with my heifer, I mean, I don't know what she felt like being called a heifer, you know, that's usually not a good thing, you know, in our culture, but anyway, if you wouldn't have plowed with my heifer, you would never guess this riddle. So he went out, killed 30 Philistines, took their changes of garments and paid off the bet, went home mad, left the woman. Well, then the dad, I'll just give him to his companion, which might have been the best man. So then after a while, Samson came back. He says, well, I want to go to my wife now. He went over there and, hey, I thought you didn't love her no more. I gave her to somebody else. So here's a stab in the back to Samson. How many's been stabbed in the back in a relationship, probably? I think we all have. You know, they don't feel very good. So that's what happened. And then when he did that, then he went off and he killed more Philistines. But I really believe that the fact that those things happened in his life, it caused him to open his eyes for wrong things. Which brings us to Judges chapter 16, verse 1. It says, then after this, a little while later, now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there, and he went into her. See, here we see Samson had eye issues again. Eye issues. You know, what you look at, very important. And so Samson was physically strong, but morally weak. And probably what happened after his failed marriage, he probably thought, well, why get married again when all I really want is sex? So he went to the harlot. And that's something that, you know, another thing in his life that just started to deteriorate. See, he again was doing what was right in his own eyes, and that bad breakup caused him to act out in retaliation. A couple things he became is, number one, he became self-indulgent. You know, it's all about meeting my needs. And then whenever we get into a relationship or anything we do and we get self-indulgent, where we think it's only about us, that's selfishness. And that's hard on any relationship. That's why, you know, many relationships break up because of selfishness. Number two, he's resentful. He was bitter about being stabbed in the back by a wife and father-in-law. And we know that what happened then is the father-in-law, after Samson did some things, started some grain on fire, that his wife and father-in-law were burned to death. They put him to death. But yet he was bitter because of what that happened. And then lastly, he was careless. You know, living so close or on the edge, and that's where we got to be careful. You know, a lot of people live right on the edge. You know, when you go down the road and you go around a sharp corner, sometimes they put those guardrails there, right? You got those guardrails. I mean, who wants to hit the guardrail? Nobody. But what happens, you know, if the guardrail is not there and we go off the road? That's not good, is it? See, a lot of people don't like guardrails, you know, but guardrails are good. So we need to set up some guardrails in our life. Like if you're a young person thinking about starting dating, or maybe you're single and you want to start dating, you need to put some guardrails up. What will I do? How far, you know, what will I allow happen in this relationship? Because if you don't mentally put some guardrails up before you start down the road, there's no telling what destination we're going to end up in. Guardrails are very important. Because I know I was a sinner I dated wrong. So I had to date properly once I became a Christian. I had to set some boundaries up. I had to set some guardrails up. Some things in my life, you know, that I knew I couldn't go. I couldn't go there. And so what happened was Samson had power without purity and strength without self-control. And see, Benzie's such a mighty man, you know. Wow, I'm tough. I'm a bad motor scooter, you know. I can do what I want. I'm the deliverer, you know. I'm the called one. God called me from the womb. Look at me. I can do what I want whenever I want to, just because I want to. And see, that's the attitude that happened. And see, now we're getting into where Delilah is. Judges chapter 16, verse 5. The lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and see where his great strength lies, and how we may overpower him, that we might bind him to afflict him. Then we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So I've always read that maybe a different way. I thought she only got 1,100 pieces. Now, I don't know, the way this is read, that we know in the Bible there's five lords of the Philistines. I mean, if they all gave her 1,100 pieces of silver, I mean, in today's standard, I could have about $100,000. That's a lot of silver. You can see why she wanted to be a seductress, you know. It's a good paying job, look like. Now, the other thing is, instead of that money, she could have married the hero of Israel, the man. You know, everybody knew about Samson's name. But she gave in. She went after the money. See, what's interesting about this is that the Philistines feared Samson so much that they were willing to pay a small fortune to get rid of him. See, when you and I are walking in God's plan with God's anointing, we are hated by the devil. Make the devil nervous. And he's going to try to bring things in your life to try to get you to stop and to quit following after God. He's going to try to taint our witness, and we need to be wise of that. Judges 16:16, it came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. Anybody, any man want to talk about that, you know, being when your wife keeps harping on you? Anybody got any testimonies? Come on now, somebody. She kept nagging him. She kept pressing him. She wanted the answer. So Delilah tried to get Samson to tell her not once but four times. And each time Samson went a little farther. He let her have something a little closer to the truth, where if his hair was cut, he lost his power. Even went to the place where she let him braid it and put a pin in it. You know, and it said that Samson had to pull the pin, and his locks came down, and then his strength regained. So he was letting her really close. He wasn't just at the guardrails, he was on the guardrails. And he went too far. Well, then we know what happened is that, you know, he gave in. You know, Delilah's weapon of choice was guilt and charm. What she did is she made Samson prove her love for her. And see, that's a trait of lust and not love. See, she kept trying to make Samson prove himself to her. And if you're in a relationship like that, that's not good. We shouldn't have to prove ourselves constantly to the other person. Then it goes down into what happened. Verse 20, it says, she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, he fell asleep with his head on her lap, and that's how this all went down. And he says, "I will go out as other times and shake myself free." But it says here, but he did not know that the Lord had departed him. See, mighty will be our fall if we are not aware when the Lord departs us. We need to be aware. We need to be in tune with the Spirit of God. And so what happened is that he had no clue that his hair had been cut. He had no clue that he'd lost his strength and power. And he thought he would just get up and go out and fight like before and win easily. But he had lost his way. And we know what happened then. Mighty is our fall. See, Samson had a weakness keeping sensitive information from women. He gave into it all the time. See, sin will find you, sin will blind you, and sin will bind you. And that's what happened. It sought him out, it blinded him, then it put him in bondage. Ironically, in this whole story, was Samson's eyes that were gouged out, and it was his eyes that got him into trouble. But see, that's not the total end of the story, people. See, they gouged out his eyes and they put him in forced labor, bondage. And then one day, they started to get a little haughty or prideful. They had a big celebration, and they was in a big Colosseum thing. And they said, hey, go get Samson so we might laugh at him, make fun of him. You know, he was supposed to be the big man, but now look at him. Well, they didn't know that his hair grew back. You know? Uh-oh. You know? That was a bummer. Then it picks up in verse 28 of chapter 16. It says, then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time. O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And so here we're going to see things that we can learn from Samson. What they did is they brought Samson. He asked some kid to help him get on the pillars. And he stood between two pillars. And then he pushed on the pillars and it brought the Colosseum down. And the Bible says that he killed more people in his death than he did in his life. I know that sounds kind of horrific, but yet it was the way that he wanted to get his revenge against the evil. So some things that we can learn from Samson. Number one, we are free to choose, but we are not free from the consequences of our choices. You know, God has given us free will. Some people take that away, they think. But, you know, we're free to choose, but yet we're not free from those consequences until we, you know, plead the blood of Jesus anyway. Number two, don't allow yourself to be manipulated. You can tell when somebody's trying to manipulate you and force you into doing something that you... If they're trying to do that, man, just run. Just stay away. It ain't worth it. That relationship's not worth it. If they're trying to force you into doing something, you know, just get out of there. Bible says in the New Testament, do not cast your pearls among the swine. You know, be careful how you quote this scripture at people. They can take an offense at that one, you know what I'm saying? But what it's talking about is that you got these heavenly things in our heart, and it's wrong just to throw them out there, things that to people that aren't worthy of that revelation. And see, we need to be careful of that. It's good to be strong physically, but it's better to be strong spiritually. If Samson was as strong spiritually as he was physically, he would never have had these problems. What we need to do is we just don't need to develop good habits. We need to develop God habits. That comes by personal relationship and walking in the presence of God. And the idea that self-control is important. Now, this is a hard one. It hits us not just in the area of lust, maybe, per se. You know, a lot of different things in our life that we give into. You know, and we need to ask God. See, self-control, I believe, is one of the fruit of the Spirit. See, we may not have self-control by our own strength, but the Spirit of God can help us with that. When we choose to yield to Him and surrender our life to Him. Next, never compromise our values because it destroys our witness. You know, we're called to be a disciple. We're called to reach the lost. But it's hard to reach the lost if we compromise our witness and they start bringing up the sin that we're doing. You know what I mean? You can't do what our parents did. My parents said, you know, the old saying, do as I say, not as I do. You know, if you was raised in that, you know. That's what my parents would try sometimes, you know. That mainly is about smoking. They both smoked, and they told me don't smoke. And I said, no problem. You know what I mean? I never did like the smell of it, you know. So that wasn't, but, you know, that's something that we do as parents, you know. We think we can do things, and I know I've done this, you know, to my kids to tell them not to do something that I myself have done, and that's not good. Next, the power of God's redemptive love. You know, God heard Samson's cry in the end. We've got to remember that. He judged Israel for 20 years, did some good things, messed up with the women, you know, got himself killed over the deal, you know. But it was God's redemptive love. God could have turned his back on Samson, but he didn't. You know, Samson had made, you know, several major blunders. You know, he was called to do something big, and he kind of forfeited some of that. He could have done something greater than he did. All because his lifestyle wasn't quite right. And we need to be careful about that. But Samson did get his name in Hebrews chapter 11. Amen? Amen. That's the wall of fame, or the wall of faith. His name was mentioned. So, you know, what kind of God would allow his name to be put there? Huh? A loving and a caring God. Amen. And that's what we've got to remember, people. We may mess up, but know this, it ain't over. Right. Samson repented, came to his senses, and God showed up big time. Amen. Brought that temple down, you know, and God got the glory from it. So we can learn from Samson some things that we can do as we operate in our own life. Some things to stay away from. Like I say, our culture does have a lot of issues in this area when it comes to lust and pornography. So we need to stay clear of that. Not even play, don't go next to the guardrail. You know, I remember I was at a men's conference, and the pastor was speaking, and he talked about taking a pornography book that he had, and he threw it in the trash can because he knew it was wrong. You know what he did? He said he kept walking around the trash can, sneaking a peek. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can't do that, people. We got to stay away from that. Burn it, you know. Burn that book, whatever it's got to do. Get that thing out of here. Put it to death. Don't play with sin. You know, stay away from it. Amen? Let's close in prayer.